R-O-Y-A-L. Royal. I was born in the month of August, 1948. Later that year, in mid-November, Prince Charles of the British Royal Family was born. About 20 years later, in 1968, I began reading articles about him. Most spoke to the preparation he was and is receiving to one day be King of England. I was impressed with all the education, instruction, and experience he was receiving. What a privilege to attend several different schools and receive degrees from Cambridge. He received military training in both the Navy and the Air Force. He was exposed to various kinds of sports, philanthropy, the arts, architecture, music, environmental sciences, medical disciplines, as well as religious and philosophical interests. Prince Charles is being given every discipline possible in preparation to be a king. Wouldn't it be exciting to have a life like that? Fact is, you were called to a life like that. There is scripture in the Word of God that speaks to us ruling in much higher positions than Prince Charles will ever see. He is being trained to act like and be like a king. So are you. The purpose of this sermon is to expose you to royalty and to your future positions as kings and princes in the kingdom of God. It's time to start acting like royalty. So be a royal. Let's go one of those royalty scriptures that I alluded to. Isaiah 32 and verse 1. Isaiah 32 and verse 1. Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment. One commentary I found says this: with Jesus Christ ruling as king over all the earth, we, as co-heirs with him, Romans 8:17, will be regarded as princes ruling under him. He will give his true followers positions of rulership in his kingdom, where it is specifically stated, we shall reign on the earth. That from the Forerunner Commentary. The quoted verse was Romans 8, 17. Romans 8 and verse 17. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so, be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. So the question is, what does it mean? That we may be glorified together. What does that mean, glorified together? Notice the commentary. That they shall be glorified together, not with his essential glory, nor with the mediatorial glory, which means characteristic of the mediator, but with that glory which his Father has given him for them. So the same way in which the Father glorified the Son, that's how we are going to be glorified. There is a glorification of the saints in Christ, and a glorification of them by Christ, and a glorification of them with Christ, which will consist in likeness to Him, and in the everlasting vision and enjoyment of Him. That from the John Gill. Let us take a look at another key verse on the royal subject, Matthew 25. Matthew 25. And as you know, Matthew 24 and 25 speaks to us about who's going to be in the kingdom of God. Matthew 25, beginning in verse 21, actually only verse 21. Matthew 25, verse 21, his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant, thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Let us take the first part of the verse and check connected and related verses. And that phrase is, well done, thou good and faithful servant. 2 Chronicles 31. 2 Chronicles 31. We're going to see how to be a member of royalty. 2 Chronicles 31, beginning in verse 20. And thus did Hezekiah throughout all Judah. and wrought that which was good and right and truth before the Lord his God. And in every work that he began in the service of the house of God and in the law and in the commandments to seek his God, he did it with all of his heart and prospered. So Hezekiah was royalty. Notice from the commentary how he went about his duties as king. For the phrase, and in every work that he began in the service of the house of God, meaning in cleansing the temple, providing sacrifices, placing the priest and Levites order, and taking care of the maintenance of them. And clearly this would spill over into everything that he did, as we have been learning to put everything into God's hands. For the phrase, and in the law and the commandments, in the observation of all the laws, statutes, and judgments of God, moral, ceremonial, and judicial. So anything that he sets out to do as king, he did it with the law and the commandments in mind, the principles of God. For the phrase, to seek his God and serve and worship him, and thereby therein his honor and glory. So you're seeking God in your going about your duties. This is what you would do as king. You're learning that now, aren't you? Isn't that what we would teach the congregation? To seek your God. You would do that in everything you do, especially if you're into assiduity prayers where you're giving all of your life to him. Everything that you go through in any given day, you're giving over to God. You're seeking God. You're seeking him to be there. You're seeking him to guide you through everything that you do. For the phrase, he did it with all of his heart. How many times have we talked about that? Fervency, diligence, zeal, and perseverance. Here's what the commentary says, for he did it with all of his heart, in the most cordial, sincere, and upright manner. So you're getting an idea of what Hezekiah was like. And then the final phrase, and prospered. He succeeded in all he undertook, God being with him. Very interesting that the commentary would say that this is the meaning. He prospered. He succeeded in all he undertook because God was being with him and blessing him in his civil and religious concerns. So everything in the first four phrases speaks to the conclusion of the commentary in the last phrase, God being with him. God is with us because we put every work in his hands and obey him in all law, statutes, and principles. And that's what we preach. We preach a lot about the principles of God, don't we? The fruits of the Spirit, to name a few. Now, more scriptures that speak to the phrase, well done, that good and faithful servant, in Matthew 25. Luke 16. Luke 16. And verse 10. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much, and he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. What do you think that's telling you? That tells you that you're in the same training ground as Prince Charles. You are being trained with that which is least. We talked about that in our running series of sermons on money. God is teaching you to be a good steward of money so that you can learn to be a good steward of the things he's going to give you later. So everything that we do in this life is training ground to be royalty. That's what Luke 16:10 is saying. Now, Romans 2:29. This is a verse Hezekiah, based on the description I gave you already, Hezekiah would love this verse. Romans 2 and verse 29. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men but of God. The minute I read that, I said, that's Hezekiah. That's exactly what we saw when we read about Hezekiah. 1 Corinthians 4. 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 5, this is an admonition to anybody about becoming king. Therefore, this is 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 5, therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 9. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 9. Wherefore, we labor that, whether present or absent, we may be acceptable of him. So, again, you're using every aspect of your life, every situation in your life in training to be a king. You should be acting like a king. You should be going about invoking the power of the Holy Spirit as you would a king. This is what you're going to be doing for eternity. You're going to be acting as a part of the royal family. 2 Corinthians 10:18. So I'm talking about a mindset. I want you in a different mindset here. I hear too much of from the congregation about feeling lowly, feeling less than adequate. It's time to start acting like a king. You know, and everybody that has been a king, they've been given training, and some of them didn't want the job, and some of them had to take it on early. But you have to start acting like a king, and you got to, and if you're acting like a king, which is exactly what God wants you to do, you're going to start looking at your duties and your responsibilities and all of the admonitions you've been given by God in a different way. You're more important than anybody on this planet. I don't care if they're presidents, prime ministers, or whatever they are, kings, queens, doesn't matter. You are working to be in a much higher position than them, so I would start acting like that now. 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 18, we read that. For not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth. So, we can't go about our lives commending ourselves, you know, approving ourselves. We wait for the Lord to commend it. And of course, he tells you all through the Word of God, do this and you'll have praise. You do this and you'll be commended by the Lord. So all of the admonitions he gives you, whether it be a principle or an absolute procedure, an act, that's what you do. And it's a given that the Lord will commend you for that. So that was 2 Corinthians 10:18. 1 Peter 1:7. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. So what do you think is going to happen when Jesus Christ returns? Do you just think in terms of, oh, when Christ returns, I'll turn into a spirit being? Oh, yeah, then what? What happens after that? What should you be thinking about? What are you going to be as this spirit being? Well, if we look at 1 Peter 1:7, it says that what we're going through is more precious than gold. And that what we do in this trial that we're going through, this trial and tribulation that we go through as part of the salvation process, might be found unto praise and honor and glory. Those sound like words that would be put on royalty, don't you think? Now for another major phrase in Matthew 25:21, I will make thee ruler over many things. So he's saying right there, I'm going to make you a ruler. Rulers come from royalty. Matthew 25, this is further down than verse 21. Matthew 25, beginning in verse 34. And we're going to read on to verse 40. So Matthew 25, beginning in verse 34. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto him, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of my brethren, you have done it unto me. So the many things God has us doing now is royalty training. You are in royalty training. If you were in some other kind of a class, you know, something secular, what do they want you to do? You want to be a marksman with a rifle, or you want to learn how to skydive. They have you acting like you're a skydiver. They have you acting like you're a marksman. This is what they did to us in the Army when we were learning to shoot a rifle. They just don't say, hey, here's a rifle, see if you can shoot it. They instruct you in a way as if you're already a marksman. And they teach you and instruct you and give you experience at firing the rifle. And because they have lifted you up in that respect, you're going to be a marksman. You're going to be good with this rifle. You start, your morale goes way up, and you start feeling like that. You're feeling like a marksman even before you are done with the course with the rifle. This is exactly what God is trying to do with you. So you are in royalty training. Start acting like royalty. Again, this is an attitude. This is a mindset as you proceed forth. I don't want you feeling less than adequate, because you are working with the power of the Holy Spirit in you. And that makes you strong. That makes you more important than anybody else on the planet. As a man thinketh, so is he. Matthew 25, verse 46. Matthew 25 and verse 46. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous unto life eternal. Life eternal where? In the royal family. That's where. So the admonition here is, kings are righteous. You are righteous. Ready to be king? That is the question. Are you ready to be king? What are you going to do to be king? What are you going to do to get ready? Now is your time to get ready. Because when Christ returns, you're going to be a king, a prince in the kingdom of God. So what are you doing now to get ready to be a king? I would think, at the very least, you would have to start thinking like a king and understanding what it is that God is calling you to. Let's look at Matthew 10. Matthew 10, beginning in verse 40. Matthew 10, beginning in verse 40. He that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of the prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of the righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water, only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. That is three verses, Matthew 10, 40-42, and it's speaking to acting like these things. Act like a righteous man. You have been given the highest calling in the universe. There is no higher calling. And so you need to start appreciating the calling that you've received and what that means. We've always talked it and couched it in, you've been given a high calling. The question would be, calling to what? Calling to what? Matthew 24, verse 47. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. So all of these verses here are back in relationship to Matthew 25:21. So clearly God wants us in the royal court. Luke 12 and verse 44. Of a truth I say unto you, that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. Notice how the words that God is using, ruler. He's going to make you ruler over these things. Luke 22. Luke 22. beginning in verse 28. So this is Luke 22, beginning in verse 28. You are they which have continued with me in my temptations, and I appoint unto you a mediocre place in the kingdom of God. No, it doesn't say that. It says, and I appoint unto you a kingdom, as my Father hath appointed unto me. Notice the word there, as my Father hath appointed unto me. What did he appoint him to? To be a ruler, to be king, Lord of lords and King of kings. And he said, and so Jesus is saying, and I appoint unto you a kingdom as my Father hath appointed unto me. Does that sound like a mediocre position? Verse 30, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom. And do what? Sit on thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Sounds like an absolute promise to me. Sounds like he's calling me to something royal. Maybe I should start acting that way, at least in my head, as I approach the elements of the salvation process. Revelation 2. I'm taking my time on giving you these verses, even though some of you have the printed material in front of you. Not everybody works with the printed material, so I'm giving them time to get to these verses. Revelation 2 and verse 10. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil hath cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried, and you shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. So another terminology of the royal family, is going to give you a crown. Question, want to be a king? Have faith. That's what that verse is saying. Be thou faithful unto death. So you want to be king? Have faith. Revelation 2, verses 26. Beginning in verse 26, so just down the page from Revelation 2:10 that we just did, Revelation 2, beginning in verse 26. And he that overcometh and keep my works unto the end, to him I will give power over what? Your goods? No, he says, and to him will I give power over the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. Again, making reference to, you're going to get the same thing that Christ did. So there's more to this whole concept of being like Christ, or opening up the gospel message and having that reflect on you, and that's how you're changed into the image of Jesus Christ. We're talking about you're going to get the same things Christ did. And so he said it twice already. It says, verse 28, and I will give them the morning star. Why don't you look that up as your homework? Look up Revelation 2 and verse 28 and see what is this, and I will give him the morning star. See if that has anything to do with royalty. Revelation 3 and verse 21. What happens to all of us? What are we doing here in the salvation process? We're learning to overcome. We're learning to overcome. What does this verse say about that? Revelation 3 and verse 21. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. Again, Christ is letting you know exactly how this is going to be given to you, the same way he got it, the same way he received it. So question, who is to become kings and princes? The answer is overcomers. So if you want to be a king, you want to be a prince in the royal family, there's certain things you're going to need to do. And in these verses that are giving you that promise to be, that you're going to be kings and princes and rule over nations and sit on thrones, he has some requirements, and we will recap those at the end of the sermon. Revelation 21. Revelation 21. And verse 7. He that overcometh shall inherit a couple of things. No. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. Who gets all things? As I read on Prince Charles, he pretty much has a lot. His mother's worth about 300 billion, and actually some say more like 10 trillion, and some say 30 trillion. So he that overcometh shall inherit all things. What do you think is going to happen when the queen dies? Well, what do you think is going to happen to Prince Charles? Assuming they don't hop over him and give it to somebody else, but right now it's Prince Charles. And he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. And who is the ruler of the universe? God. And he's going to make you his son. Does that not make you in the royal family? Now for the last phrase, speaking again of Matthew 25, 21, enter thou into the joy of the Lord. What's that? What's this joy of the Lord? Let's look at Psalm 16. Psalm 16. We're going to begin in verse 10. Psalm 16. Beginning in verse 10, for thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, meaning the grave, neither wilt thou suffer thy holy one to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life in the presence of fullness of joy. At the right hand there are pleasures forevermore. So clearly, right away, to when we're looking at Matthew 25, 21, we say enter into the joy of the Lord. It clearly has something to do with the royal family, because he says at the right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Where is he? Where is God the Father and Jesus Christ? Who's going to be ruling the earth during the millennium? Where is he going to be sitting? John 12. John 12. And I'm going to read verse 26. John 12 and verse 26. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. So the question is, you want royal treatment from the Father? Follow the Son. Follow the Son. John 14. John 14 and verse 3. You notice where I can here. I go in biblical order, so you only have to turn through the Bible in one direction. John 14 and verse 3, and if I go to prepare a place, that place means office or position. Same with the verse, in my Father's house are many mansions. That's talking about office or position. So if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may also be also. Where is he going to be? He's going to be in the royal family. He's going to be acting as a royal. He's going to be acting as King of Kings. And he's asking you to be with him. So shouldn't we be acting that way now? Shouldn't we be thinking like that now? Shouldn't we be anticipating that now? Shouldn't we be praying for that now? Philippians 1 and verse 23. Philippians 1 and verse 23. This is a sign and an attitude of a royal. And this is what you're going to see all through this handbook of the salvation process. The salvation process is a process that's taking you to the royal family, something that we call righteousness. And that's the best royal family to be in, the righteous royal family. So here is a sign and an attitude of a royal, Philippians 1 and verse 23. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Why do you think he said that? What do you mean, I'm in a strait betwixt two? What are the two things that he's betwixt? It says, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. He's talking about where you are now. So this is an attitude. What you're going to see here, this is This is how a royal thinks before he gets his crown. I'm being trained to be a king. What do you think I'm thinking about in my off times between training classes? I'm thinking about being king. And it says, for I am in a strait betwixt two, meaning all these classes on being a king. So I'm in this training ground. I'm in the salvation process. So I'm betwixt that. I know I need to be here. There's a glory in that, you know, in that everything I do is glory that goes to God. So I'm doing glorious things. That is, Christ is doing glorious things in and through you in the training room. But you know that when you're done with your classes, that you'll get to be with Christ. So that's what you're between. This is the right attitude. You know and appreciate and understand the here and the now. You know and understand and appreciate all these classes you're going through. I'm talking about trials and tribulations, through much tribulation you enter into what? The kingdom of God. And so you love that. You love that. Why do you love that? Why do you love trials and tribulations? Because it's going to get you into the royal family. That's what. And so you're betwixt the two. And that means that you have this desire and attitude and appreciation of what you're going through now, because it's going to take you to the royal family. And at the same time, you're having this desire to be there in the royal family. This is perfect. That's the perfect attitude. And if you're in the, when I say it's a sign here of being royal, if you're in the royal training classes, then that is a sign that you're going to be a royal. See, if I took you down and say, I'm going to make you a marksman, and I enter you into an institution or a class, some instruction on shooting a rifle, then you can hardly wait until you graduate so you can go out and with your rifle and do whatever you're going to do with the rifle, you know, hunting or target shooting or competition shooting, whatever it is. So you have that desire, but if you're going to want to be that, it's just like anybody in the Olympics. Oh, I want to be in the Olympics. I think I'd be really good at ice skating. Well, you got to put in the time, but then comes the glory. We get to see the glory of it. The royal family, if you will, is the Olympics. But what we need to appreciate as we look at that as an example of this, Philippians 1:23, is thinking about all that they put in, the hours and hours and hours and years that they put in to be in that Olympics. And then whatever they do, it sure looks easy. It sure looks easy. It looks fun. And they get high acclaim for their efforts. But they wouldn't give up those many years and all those daily hours in training, would they? So this is the right attitude to be of a royal. You love where you are now, but you got your eyes on the crown. This is a part of your 10,000 year perspective into the kingdom. You're already thinking 10,000 years in. This is seek ye first the kingdom of God. It's all the same. 2 Timothy 2. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 12. What happens if we suffer like Christ did? What does this verse say? 2 Timothy 2 and verse 12. If we suffer, and the implication there is like he did, it says, we shall also reign with him who suffered. If we deny him, he will deny us. If you leave your classes to be a royal, you're not going to be in the royal family. If you were in the Olympics, if you leave your training, you're not going to make it to the Olympics. So I want to, at this concept of denying Christ, most think of Peter overtly denying him, but there's more to this. It's 2 Timothy 2:12 again. It says, if we suffer, we shall reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. I want you to think deeper than what we normally think of somebody denying Christ. We think mostly of Peter overtly doing that. But there's more to it. Anybody who denies the class, denies the procedure, the process that we're going through. See, how could you possibly have the attitude of Philippians 1:23, where you're betwixt these two things, if you're denying one of them? So if you're denying the elements of, the work of, the duties of the salvation process, all that we could talk about that you do in there, then you're denying him. That's the real denial. It's not what Peter did. Peter didn't even have the Holy Spirit at that time. So when we're talking about 2 Timothy 2:12, this is Paul, as you well know, speaking to Timothy. What is he saying to him? What is he saying to him about denial? He's not talking about, what Peter overtly did that night. No, it's talking about your calling, denying your calling, denying the power of God, denying praying, denying Bible study, you know, neglecting of these things. That's a part of denial. You know better. You know that you have to be immersed in the Word of God. No, I think I'll just give it a passing review now and again. No, you need to be fully into it. So let's look at this phrase, whosoever there shall confess me. The same word in the original is translated confess and profess. 1 Timothy 6, 12-13, 2 John 1, 7, Romans 10, 10. It means to acknowledge the Lord Jesus Christ and our dependence on him for salvation and our attachment to him in every proper manner. This profession may be made in conversation and in conduct. The scriptures mean by a profession of a religion, an exhibition of it in every circumstance of the life and there and before all people. It is not merely in one act that we must do it, but in every act. This is why we've been preaching, putting everything into God's hands. We must be ashamed neither of the person, the character, the doctrines, nor the requirements of Christ, if we deny him in these things before people. So you're getting an education in here, what it means to really deny Christ. It's not what Peter did. That clearly was, but that was overt. This is much more complex and speaking directly to your calling. So it says, if we deny him in these things before people or Christ, if we are unwilling to express our attachment to him in every way possible, then it is right that we should disown all, that he should disown all connection with us or deny us before God, and he will do it. So that's Barnes' notes with minor editing and emphasis by me. The quoted verses were 1 Timothy 6, verses 12 and 13, and I gave you the links over the lessons of that. Fight the good fight of faith. And lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called. So clearly, this fighting the fight of faith and laying hold on eternal life has to do with your calling. It says, whereon thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession. Part of the denial would be neglecting your calling. It would be forgetting or refusing to put up a good fight. Part of denial would not be invoking the power of the Holy Spirit and doing good works. 2 John 1 and verse 7, for many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. So part of denial is holding false doctrines and rejecting true doctrines. Romans 10:10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Romans 10:10. So part of denial is neglect of belief and faith. Members of God's royal court exercise fervency, diligence, and zeal. They might invoke the power of the Holy Spirit. They constantly invoke the power of the Holy Spirit and look for opportunities to serve and do good works. They immediately reject false doctrines and fiercely embrace true doctrine. 1 Peter 1 and verse 8. 1 Peter 1 and verse 8. Whom having not seen, you love, in whom, though now we see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. I want to give you some quotes on royal leadership. This first one from John Quincy Adams. If your actions inspire others to dream more, learn more, do more, or become more, you are a leader. This is the attitude we want to be in. This is how you spread the gospel, by acting like an ambassador of Jesus Christ, acting like he does. Another quote, a leader is one who knows the way, goes the way, and shows the way. How do you show the way? By acting like a disciple of Jesus Christ. Theodore Roosevelt said, the quality of a leader is reflected in the standards they set for themselves. And we have high standards. We have the Christ standard. And that's what we have to do. So we have to do what Theodore Roosevelt is giving us admonition to do. The quality of a leader is reflected in the standards they set for themselves. You have the standard book. It's called the Word of God, the Bible. Management is doing things right. Leadership is doing the right things. Big difference there. Leadership is about taking responsibility, not making excuses. You notice how in your calling that there's not going to be any excuses. When you go into the judgment room and you're standing there alone, and on the other side of the table is God the Father and Jesus Christ, and they're judging you about your whole life. And of course, that's happening right now, you realize. That's what's happening in the salvation process. That is the judgment room. You are, in essence, in everything you do, everything you learn, everything you put, put into action, you are standing before the table. And on the other side is God the Father and Jesus Christ. And they are not going to take any excuses. If they find you wanting, you will not be able to open your mouth and offer an excuse. So it's interesting that somebody would come up with a quote like this, the definition of leadership. It is taking responsibility, not making excuses. So you want to act like a royal? Don't be making excuses. Let us recap what we have learned about royalty and ruling with Christ. I made a list of the things that will be part of your royalty. Now, each one of these things in this list come from the verses that we've already gone through. So I'm not going to quote here on the tape every scripture reference. I'm going to read to you the things that are going to be part of your royalty. You can make reference to the list and you will see the verse where this element is coming from. As a prince, you shall rule in judgment. You are a joint heir with Christ. You will be glorified. You will be ruler over many things. You will enter into the joy of the Lord. You will prosper. You will know things currently in darkness. A part of that is you're going to know everything that's ever happened. And as I tell people, everything that's happening out here in the world, everything you're getting through the news media, is not necessarily what's really happening. There's all kinds of things happening behind closed doors. There's all kinds of things you've been told how they went down, and they went down in a different way. And so nothing is as it seems. There's all kinds of things afoot. And I'm not just talking about conspiracy theories. I'm talking about reality. And here you have a biblical reference to you will know things currently in darkness. What could that possibly be? You will be accepted by God. God will commend us. So God will commend us. You will know praise and honor. You will know praise and honor. You will inherit the kingdom of God. you will have eternal life. You see why I put this into a list? Because I want you to be able to refresh your memory on this at all times. I want you to act like a royal. So I'm giving you a list of what you're going to receive as a member of the royal family. This is, and if you keep going over this list and you see the preponderance, this is a big list here. And you're going to receive all of these things. I want you to start acting like it, because if you start acting like a royal now, what do you think is going to be the result? You're going to delve more into it. You're going to get deeper into the scriptures. You're going to keep yourself immersed in the Word of God, and you're going to continue your training with zeal and fervency and diligence. That's the point. I want you to be a royal. So the admonition of this sermon is be a royal. I want you to do that in all fervency and diligence and zeal based on what you're receiving here in this list. You will know praise and honor. You will inherit the kingdom of God. You will have eternal life. You will receive reward. Governor Ted Armstrong has a whole sermon on reward. Addition to salvation, there is reward. You are appointed the kingdom. You will eat and drink at God's table in the kingdom. You will sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. You will receive a crown of life. You will receive power over the nations. You will sit down with Christ. You will be a son of God. You will know pleasures forevermore. You will receive honor from the Father. You will receive a place prepared by Christ. You will be with Christ. You will reign with Christ, and you will rejoice with joy unspeakable. We're talking about the way beyond anything. Maybe you in your life have sat in envy at looking at the royal family. The royal family is one of the most looked at families in the entire world. There's a royal watch. There's all this royal watching. Why? Because it is a joyous thing. Oh, it's a thing to be envied. It's a thing to be desired. Nothing wrong with that. So don't feel bad if you desire something like that. Wow, wouldn't that be something to be in the royal palace, you know, and ruling over England? With all of the wonderful things you get. But here I have a promise that says, I'm going to get something much higher than all of that. So anything I could envy about Prince Charles or Queen Elizabeth or the royal family is nothing compared to what I'm going to get. It says, I will rejoice with joy unspeakable. Now, I told you that there is another list. There are some requirements, and they come from the same verses that I just used in preparing that first list. So the first list was about all of the aspects of being in the royal family. Here are the requirements to you being in the royal family. Requirements to royalty: righteousness, suffer with Christ, have faith. And as we well know, we're talking about have the same faith God has. In all of these things, it's the same as God has. Do what is good, right, and truth. Hezekiah. Seek God. Do it with all of your heart. Praise God. Labor. Endure the trial of faith. You do good works to the brethren. Receive Christ and righteous men. Suffer tribulation. Overcome sin and keep the works of Christ to the end. Walk the path of life. These are all requirements coming from the same verses that I made the other list with. And so if you have the text, you can do a comparison there. Or you can read one of these verses and you'll see both what you get, the element of royalty, and the requirements. Serve and follow Christ. And believe. So go now and be a royal.